Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.
As-salamu alaykum. You are out on the front line. You are out on the front line with the fruit of Islam. I am your host, Jihad Muhammad, and tonight, the rise of the Black South. Over 50% of Black America lives in the southern states of America. Is this by design? Is the South the new promised land for the sons and daughters of slavery? What say you? Tonight, out on the front line, we give to you the commanders in the field, the trainers of the FOI, from Jackson, Mississippi, Brother Allen Muhammad, from Birmingham, Alabama, and Atlanta, Georgia, Brother Ray Muhammad, from Athens, Georgia, Brother Reginald Muhammad, and in a few, we will have with us our brother from Little Rock, Arkansas, Brother Reginald P. Muhammad. Let's get busy. Let me go ahead and say from the outset, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant. I greet all tonight who are listening in and our panel guests with the greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, sir.
All praise is due to Allah, brother. Let me start out by saying, first of all of those who are out tonight, be very, very careful. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has asked all of us to be wise tonight. No celebrating one way or the other. Let's be careful. Our sisters, if you're out there tonight, please have an escort. But this is very, very important that you abide by these instructions from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Please be careful. Let us get started tonight. Let's go right to the lines with our guest tonight. Brother Allen Muhammad, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
My brother, how are you tonight?
I'm good, by the grace of Allah, sir. And yourself?
Oh, great. I'm fine, thank Allah, sir. Good to hear your voice. Tell us a little something about yourself, Brother Allen, for the listening audience who may not know who you are.
Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Yes, sir. I first joined the Nation under the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in 1974, before he departed and left us. And I was in the mosque. Well, I joined the mosque about at 19. And it was for a period of time after he left us, I broke away because in certain regions and certain conditions brought about that particular change and development in my life. Lost connection with the brotherhood in the mosque and everything, well, the whole nation fell from the teaching of the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And you know this. And I was back out in the streets, man, in that, well, I wouldn't say the street, in the grave. And living in the grave for 20 to 30 some years, but there was something about me that another brother noticed, and he asked me, you know, was I a Muslim? Because I never did eat pork. After I quit eating pork, I never would eat any pork and stuff. That's one thing that I kept doing, but all the other laws that I broke. But after I found that the Minister Farrakhan had rebuilt the nation and everything, and he had opened the doors for us to come back in. So I came back in those doors and made a full commitment to dedicate myself back to the mission that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad had set in motion from the beginning. And I got back behind this man 100%. And within a short period of time, I became, the first thing I became was the Found Call Captain. And now, student captain of the mosque. Mosque number 7-8 now. I was born and raised in Mississippi, in Hazard, Mississippi. Went to school there. Did 12 years, you know, of school, going and did a year and a half of college and everything. My first year in college, that's when I joined the nation and everything. That's when everything took motion. And when I joined the Nation of Islam, man, from that teaching, I found that college didn't have nothing on the teaching that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was giving me. Because it opened my mind up to a lot of other things. And I was very interested in studying this message that this man had. Because in growing up, my mom sent me to churches and everything, you know, Sunday school, learning about Jesus and all that. And when I first heard this teaching, the first day, I accepted. And I've been going at this thing ever since. Now, there's a lot of things that when I was in the grade, that Allah taught me some things about wrong. And when the minister introduced it, the restricted laws, now I know the difference. And I can't put it too much in words, but the experience of being out there in the wrong, and then once you dedicate yourself to being right, you know the essence of how wrong can suck you in like quicksand. And mm-hmm. you know the essence of how righteousness and truth and obeying God's law can raise you up out of that quicksand. Because the more you struggle in the quicksand, the more it sucks you under. But the more you study truth and the more you act on this truth, the more you grow and the more you come up out of that depth of hell. And I keep working at this. I don't like talking this. I like working this and everything. And that's my part of my mission of helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And a little more about myself, I have 6 brothers under me. You know, because my mother and father, they separated when I was about 10 years old. I'm the oldest of all of my brothers and everything, and as I went through school, I tried to be the best example to them that I possibly could at that particular time until everything. And right now, they still call me for what I would say suggestions and advice in that world. But look, I don't like to use the word advice because I'm still a student. I'm learning every day. I just give suggestions, and if it works, it works. And if it don't, it don't. But under this teaching, I know that everything that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is teaching us, according to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is exact. And as long as we follow that and stuff and everything, we can change things in our lives and live a better life. So I have that type of respect. Even at the time that Mr. Farrakhan came and spoke at Jackson State about a year or so ago, I invited my mother and one of my brothers out, man, and they came out, and my mother been enjoying this teaching ever since and stuff.
Beautiful.
And what I do. Yeah, what I do. And even when I first joined the nation, I didn't involve, you know, my brothers and my family as much as I do now. And with this teaching, it's given me a stronger connection to them and everything to say what they can see the difference in my life. And it also gives an opportunity they can see how a better example and a better life that I'm living by being in the nation and being a Muslim. My thing is not just placing the label on yourself, it's the ingredients that I try to work with.
Yes.
Being a righteous person, being honest. That FOI, the meaning of FOI, I try to incorporate that every day in my life now. And that's what helps stimulate the spirit and the growth within me at this particular point. I don't know if that's a basic history of myself.
Brother, that's beautiful.
I guess I'm working on putting the essence of everything that I've been through in a short period of time. Well,
yes.
The period of time, the time that I'm talking about in the short is what I'm saying now. But all of this came in the time of 30 to 40. I'm 59 years old. And the
yes,
thing
sir.
That I noticed about myself is that when I incorporate how to eat to live in the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I can work just as hard as a brother 16 years old.
That's right.
And my endurance of study doing, 3 hours of sleep, getting up, doing what I need to do to take care of my family and take care of myself, it's become easy. But see, when I was out there in hell, drinking, going to clubs, dancing, chasing all around everything, my body was steady going down. It was steady destroying. Mm. And Allah was blessing me ways of seeing this thing. And once I got back in, the whole light bulb just came on and a whole new vision of two different lives and the changes of lives. And that's that valley of decision. You said, which one do you want? Do you want to live this way or do you want to live that way? So I chose the nation, just like I chose when I first heard the first time that I first heard the word of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad when I went to the mosque on 1208 Jones Street, Jackson, Mississippi, and everything. And from
all
that
praise
day
is due to Allah.
To now, brother, that truth has been embedded in me. And even the 30-some years that I've been in hell, it haven't dug that out. It haven't dug that out. That truth is still in me. And now it's growing even faster now under the teaching of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Praise be to Allah.
That's a
lot. Oh yes, brother. Yeah, brother. No
yes,
doubt,
sir.
Brother. Yes, brother. That's plenty, brother. Praise be to Allah. That's some rich history too, brother. I can hear your
yes,
testimony,
sir.
Brother Ray Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
How is my brother tonight, sir? Talk to us and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Man, I'm doing absolutely great. Let me say, first of all, thank you so very much, and I'm so deeply humbled that you would even ask me to be on your show among such great men that I'm hearing from. One thing, I came in the nation under I called him my father, Tony Muhammad, in 1988, April the 28th. It was on my campus of Clark College at that time. It's now Clark Atlanta University. And my father at that point was wearing a gray suit, a white shirt, a gray and black bow tie, black shoes. And this man was an individual whom I had never heard from, anything like he was teaching. I was a born-again Christian. I loved my Jesus. And this individual was able to give me a better understanding of what I thought I knew. I went on to become chief of the security. I went on to develop a security team, for my father, because I love him just that much. Brother Khalid, Dr. Khalid, may Allah be pleased with him, was an individual that I came up under as well, too. I call him my spiritual grandfather. I've been a captain, of course, in the city of Macon. I've been state captain in the state of Alabama. I've been first officer in Atlanta, special assistant to the regional captain, Brother Captain Curtis, when he was regional captain here in Atlanta. So the love that I have for our people was intensified based on what Tony Muhammad was able to put in me. I've always loved black people. But when that man began to start teaching me who and what I was, the love that I thought I had for black people, it intensified to the 10th power. So I'm so thankful for my journey that I traveled in the nation. And, of course, you know, we all take those back roads sometimes, and we all have to get our tires changed and our oil changed and our cars aligned and whatnot. So that's pretty much what I'm doing now as we're able to get back up to being that top FOI that I once was. So, again, thank you, bro, for having me on the boat.
Oh, brother, thank you for coming on, brother. Like I tell all the soldiers, brother, this show was created for you, Brother Ray. And anytime you want to come on or you've got a subject matter that you want to have handled to let the world hear, come on the show, brother. We'll make it happen, sir. And so I thank you for coming on. Brother Reginald Muhammad, my brother, how are you, sir? How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, brother. How about yourself?
Brother, we are fine. Praise be to Allah. Tell us a little bit about yourself, sir.
Yes, sir. All praise due to Allah. I hail from Paterson, New Jersey, and I have been in the southern region now since the year 2000. I have worked as a student first officer in Norfolk, Virginia, in the Mid-Atlantic region, student first officer at the Athens Study Group, student captain there, and now I work as a special assistant to our student state captain here in the state of Georgia in the southern region. I don't have to think about this. I've been in the nation now for 21 years. I came in the nation in 1991, and it's been a beautiful journey for me. Just like Brother Allen and Brother Ray, and I'm sure all the other brothers that are listening on this magnificent radio program, it's been a life-changing process.
Right.
I use that word very intently because, as Brother Ray just stated, it's a continual evolvement every day of our lives. We grow, we learn. We learn what things that we need to apply maybe a little bit thicker and what things we need to take off. I'm a very, very proud husband of a beautiful wife, and I'm a very, very proud father of three beautiful children. But most of all, I am very happy to say that I am a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad under the leadership of our beautiful brother, our beautiful friend, teacher, guide, and warner, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And thank you very, very much, brother.
Oh, brother, thank you too, brother, as well. Thank you and Brother Allen for coming on the show tonight. I'm deeply honored, and the audience is deeply honored. Before we get started, 507, who was that on 507 tonight, Brother Vernon? 507. Area code. Well, Walaikum Salaam.
This is Brother Mustafa calling from Rochester, Minnesota.
Oh, Brother Mustafa. Salaamu Alaikum, sir.
Yes, sir.
How are you tonight, soldier?
I'm good, brother. Just tuning in, getting in, and listening to what the brothers are speaking on tonight.
Beautiful, brother. We're going to ride tonight, brother. We got a lot to talk about in a short time to get it done. I'm glad you called in. If you got any questions, give us a minute, and we're going to get right back to you. So you going to stay in queue?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. 314, what say you?
Caller from 314, please identify yourself.
That might be our boots on the ground for the presidential election. Is that Brother Gene?
Your mic is open. All right, we'll come back to them later.
Okay, we'll come back to them. Brothers, let me ask a question. This question came to me. I'm going to ask this question knowing the answer, but the people want to hear from you. Of course, you know, this is the southern region, which they call the Bible Belt. And so our brothers and sisters have been raised in Christianity and in the Bible here. So when they see you on the street, the soldiers, the fruit of Islam, they want to know, what is the fruit of Islam? And what is your purpose? What is your mission? I got a question here. They're asking that. Well, what is the FOI? What is the fruit of Islam? And what exactly is your purpose? Brother Allen, let me start with you, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The fruit of Islam is the best developed part of the Nation of Islam, constantly training and conditioning itself to overcome all obstacles in its path. And I state that because of the fact when we are in the street with our people, and they do not know about our religion or our way
right.
of life, our way of life, and we know about theirs, it's a conflict there. So when we face those particular conflicts, we have to find ways to bond those particular things together. And the fruit is the best part of that tree that's developed. Well, when the fruit tree is young and it's growing up, it bears fruit, but the first part of the fruit is green until it stays on long enough and get all the nourishment and nutrients it needs to grow to produce the product that is necessary for consumption. And when we go out in the street, developing ourselves and facing our people, it helps give us that nutrient and that development of how we can grow more ourselves and how we can help them to grow and relate to them who Jesus really is. Because in the teaching, it teaches, and in their Bible, it teaches us who Jesus really is. But a lot of times, our people overlook that. So when we come to them and confront them with a conversation according to that particular thing, we can point in their Bible where they can find the proper information and getting a better understanding of their own religion. And this helps us to develop and being a fruit of nourishment. Because when you eat fruit, you get the juices and you get the nourishment and you get the essence of everything to help strengthen yourself, and if you sharing it with someone, to strengthen them too. Now I'm looking at a fruit as a materialistic or physical thing that passes on, but when we look at it as a spiritual and known thing, we pass it on the knowledge that has been taught to us in Islam on to them to show them how they have been misled in their teaching. And you don't confront them in a aggressive way. You confront them according to their understanding and just point out certain things and stuff to help them to develop. But the thing that we have to notice is the level that they are. Once we know the level that they are, like I said earlier, when the trees bear fruit, the first part of the fruit is green. If you know that the fruit is green, you got to leave it there instead of feed and water and give it fertilizer and stuff for it to grow a little more, to develop to the proper fruit that it should be. And this is the way we have to work with our people. We have to work with our people like that. And as we do that, it helps develop them and get them on a level of understanding right along with us.
Yes, sir.
Militant and everything, we have to stand strong with what we believe. And that belief is in one God, because when we go out, they try to say, well, you believe in that Elijah Muhammad, man. You Farrakhan is your God. You know, they come at you with all these type of things. But see, if we have a thorough understanding of what we are all about, we can show them the same thing in their own religion. Okay, you talking about we got all of these gods. Look how many gods you got in yours. You talking about Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We can, you know, it brings about a conversation and a discussion where we both can get an understanding on an equal level. And as we get an understanding and stuff, and we bring it over to a mental and spiritual level, then things begin to bond right there and everything. And it causes a relationship where they will understand us and we will understand them. Because if we don't be militant and strong and stand our ground in what we believe in, their religion and way of life and them being strong and militant in their belief will transform us over into them. So this is the part of the fruit of the Nation of Islam that we got to stand firm on, and we got to have the courage, man. Brother, I'm finna go into something, man. When I first got back into the nation, man, I being an FOI, you accept God. You fear no one but Allah. When they said, man, them drug dealers over there, they'll kill you. So Brother, I went into areas just a lot in myself, knocking on doors where people had broken the old people's houses and robbed them and tied them all up and stuff, man, knocking on doors and stuff. And I had drug dealers on the corner telling me, man, why you over here knocking on my door and stuff? I said, brother, I came to give you this phone call. I came to give you the truth, man, and stuff. And I took this back to the FY class and informed them about it. Then they came in. But see, the thing with me is that if we are FOIs, we have to stand strong no matter how many guns they say they got, what kind of mental capacity or illness that they have. We have the truth of God. That makes us more stronger than anything that they ever could come up with. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that our unity is stronger than any kind of bomb that they can make. So if
that's
we
right.
unite, if I unite with one ball brother and go in there and knock on doors, like the minister is asking us, we go door to door. You have one brother with you, brother. We got all the power we need. We don't have to fear nothing. We don't have to fear no dogs. I remember when Mr. Farrakhan was telling us when he faced that bull. We got to go past that. See, when we start fearing things in this world, then we create doubt in our spiritual understanding of the truth. And I'm bringing out this fruit of Islam, man, because once you develop to that fruit to give nourishment to the people that's going to get the fruit, eventually, if it stay on the tree long enough, it's going to get overripe and fall off. You understand? But we have to get out and use this and pass it on, man, so the tree can buy more fruit.
Beautiful.
Once that fruit falls off, then it makes room for other fruit to come up. And when
right.
we go out and give the teaching to our people, it brings in more fruit. And if we don't do that, if we have some fear and doubt in what we are doing, we're not going to accomplish that. And that's part of the mission of the FOI, and that's part of our duty to self and others.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, beloved. Walaikum salam. Well, we got a special coverage right now, real quick. Boots on the ground report on the presidential election. Brother Gene X, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What do you have for us tonight, sir?
Well, keeping in mind, sir, it's very early to tell. So far, as the popular vote is very, very close. Obama's in the lead. Let's go to the electoral vote. In South Carolina, 9 electoral votes. Romney won South Carolina. Virginia, West Virginia, 5 electoral votes. Romney. Vermont, Obama has won Vermont by electoral votes. Illinois, Obama, 20 electoral votes. The District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., Obama, 3 electoral votes. New Jersey, 14 electoral votes, Obama, New Mexico, Obama, and Florida. By the popular vote, it's too early to tell, but they're running a very close race in Florida. That's all I have for you now, sir.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right here when you get back.
Okay, thank you, sir.
That is our brother Gene X with the Boots on the Ground report on the special coverage of the elected presidential elections. Brother Ray Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Sir, what is the mission of the FOI? Our brothers and sisters, especially in the southern region, you don't ask these questions like up north in like New York, New Jersey. They're very familiar with the fruit of Islam. But the fruit of Islam in the south now is growing. We're getting stronger, and the people want to know, who are you and what is your purpose? Can you enlighten my listening audience tonight on that question? What is the mission of the fruit of Islam, and who are you?
Well, I'll do my very best to. The mission of the fruit of Islam, of course, we know from the Nation of Islam what our mission is. But when you go after our people out in the streets, as you ask the question, what is an FOI, and then it ties in to our mission. And I see us as, when I was in the church, and we used to sing a song, Sweet Low, Sweet Chariot, coming forth
yes.
to carry home. I look over Jordan, and what did I see? A band, and they used to say black angels coming after me, coming for
yes.
me, carrying me home. So when I look at us in the FOI, doing what the Honorable Louis Farrakhan said, have always been our mission, that he's gotten us back in there. That is to deliver the 30-plus million dead to the Lamb of God, and that is the most honorable Elijah Muhammad under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan leadership. So when I see us out in the streets, I see the people looking at us as very strange. They don't know who we are, but they don't know who angels are. But an angel is not someone who's aggressive. He's not someone that's antagonistic. He's an individual that light is always surrounded by that around that individual. So as flies are drawn to light, our people are absolutely drawn to the light of truth that comes from us. But we have to be a better deliverer of that truth and have to be a better example, like Minister Farrakhan is going after our people. Yes, they're in a wretched condition. Yes, they're drinking. Yes, they're smoking. Yes, they're cussing. Yes, they're doing all the things that we used to do. So we can't forget where the way we were and then go after our people as if we have forgotten the condition that, or the teachers that brought us up out of this wretched condition. So our mission is to bring as many of them. But the messenger told the Honorable Louis Farrakhan that through him, he's going to get them all. But how will
yes.
Minister Farrakhan get them all? He's going to need the help of the mighty FOI, as he told us on last night, that we're that backbone. And if our backbone is weak, then, of course, the representation of him is going to be a weak representation. But when that backbone is strong and stern, then we go out there with a strong and stern position, and we go after our people. So our mission, dear brother, is to bring as many black people to God as we possibly can by the example they see of, in us of a God. So you can't attract God when we're being devils. So we have to be very attractive when we go out there. We cannot have to be very aware that people are watching us. Our suits need to be clean. Our shoes need to be shined. Our breath need to be pleasant. Our nails need to be clean. We need to have a pen and a pad in our pocket at all times because we're going after the dead. And they are indeed the walking dead, and we are the living God. So when we touch those individuals, bro, we touch them and give them life. So that's the mission of the FOI, to bring black people to God.
All praise is due to Allah. You're out on the front line with the fruit of Islam, and tonight we got the commanders in the field on the line tonight. Brother Alan Muhammad from Jackson, Mississippi. Brother Ray Muhammad from Birmingham, Alabama. And our brother Reginald Muhammad, student captain here in Athens, Georgia. Brother Reginald, what say you, sir? What is the mission of the FOI? And what is your purpose, my brother?
Yes, sir. Well, I think just to follow in on what the two brothers said, Brother Allen and Brother Ray, they were right on point. The language in our FOI manual says that the sole purpose of the FOI is to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God. Now, those figures were given to us upon the arrival of our Savior Master Farad Muhammad, so we know that the figures have changed. And the actual facts know our total to be around 40 million, but the mission has not changed in the least. Our sole mission,
come
the
on.
Primary mission, the number one mission,
yeah.
is to deliver the dead to the Lamb of God. The way that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said it last night was something that he regurgitated from a lecture that he gave, I believe in the year was 1991, when he commissioned Brother Minister Sharif, Student Minister Sharif, as our Supreme Captain. And he said it like this, and I think this sums it up. Make all men and boys join the FOI. Don't ask
yes.
them. Don't plead with them. Don't pry them. Don't bribe them. Make them. And he said in that lecture, how do you make somebody do something that they don't want to do? Well, as black men, we know that we don't move oftentimes from love until we know better. You have to force them. So make all men and boys join the FOI, and then you make them into something. Well, we all thought we were that. We all thought we were brave fighters, but we didn't have an aim or purpose for what we were fighting for. So now those of us who wear the Star and Crescent on our shoulders, when you are made into a brave fighter, willing at any time, if I come knock on your door right now, brother, you willing to at any time give your life, and I'm going to add take a life for Allah's sake and righteousness. But we have to be made into something in order to go after that first, that soul, that primary mission, which is to deliver our people. And oftentimes, the things that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us of the messenger have a spiritual context and they have a physical context. And we as men in the FOI have to become very familiar with the both of those, because both of them are very relevant. In particular, when we're talking about dealing with our people, because our people are used to being handled in a very ill manner. They're not used to being handled with compassion. So in making all men and boys join the FOI, just like Brother Ray said, we have to put our best foot forward at all times. The teacher said like this, the opposites attract. So if I want to make you join what I am trying to become and what I am a part of, how am I going to convince you to leave what you are doing to come over here what I'm doing? But the messenger didn't say convince them. He said, make them. So in making them, we have to stay on top of our first, our soul, our primary mission, which is to go after our brothers and sisters in the streets. And in doing that, we will make them do as the messenger made us to do. Because nobody asked us to do this. Somebody made us do it. We just didn't know we were being made to do a thing.
Good point.
I think we all can bear witness to that.
That's right.
You know, whether it took one time to come to the mosque or 15 times to come to the mosque, when Allah put his finger on you and said, now it's time for you to go, we all bear witness because we're sitting in the house right now.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Brother, I got a question because you just said a mouthful right there, which leads into the next part of the question. Now, being made, okay, I want to talk about this one thing here. How does one qualify to be in the military of the Nation of Islam called the Fruit of Islam? How does one qualify to be in the military of the Nation of Islam called the Fruit of Islam? Now, you all can just go ahead and take whoever wants to jump on it first, be my guest.
Well, I don't mind stepping out, and I think Brother Reginald, I think one of the first qualities that make a good FOI, the two qualities that I say make a good FOI, and we're all still in the developmental process. I say that very humbly. Number one is being obedient. Because we all have the propensity and the capability to continue to learn and grow and develop. And when we lose the ability or desire, or we think that we have arrived because of our different experiences that we have, that's when we really lost. Number two, and equally important, I would say, in my opinion, is the desire to learn. So being obedient and staying hungry for knowledge, in my opinion, are two things that make a good FOI, because in the both of those and being obedient, you're going to have a good work ethic. You're going to, when your first officer or your lieutenant or your captain calls, or your brother calls, or a lost found calls that maybe a friend or maybe one of your customers, then it forges something inside of you. It keeps that fire burning, so that you continue to learn, to grow, and to develop.
Yes. Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful. Anybody else? Brother Allen? Brother Ray?
Yes, brother. And I want to beef back on what my dear brother was saying when he was dealing with his second point. When because I remember how I was. I was made. Yeah, I was in the Marine Corps when I joined the Nation of Islam as well. A brother asked me to come out to hear this guy named Tony Muhammad. The brother that asked me was a fellow Marine of mine. He also was part of a fraternity that I was going to pledge. But he said, no, man, come on over here and hear him. I really didn't want to hear anything about no Islam. I really did. Because
yes,
I really
sir.
Did not understand that religion. I was a Christian. So you bringing Islam to me, I don't want to go. My words were, I don't want to go hear this nigga, man. I got Jesus. But this brother who was not a Muslim, you understand, made me go. And he said, man, just sit here for about 10 minutes. And if you don't like what you hear, then you're welcome to get up and go. So with that experience, that brother, I sat there for 10 minutes. Then I did not even want to leave for 3 more hours this man was teaching. And what he was teaching was making me stay in my seat. Although initially I wanted to get up and get the hell up out of there. Because I'm like, wow, this brother is talking about black people. He's offending some people and whatnot. But his delivery of the word is so connected and resonated with what I thought the God that was in me. And the man explained things to me that no one on earth had ever explained. And I asked many pastors some of the questions that Brother Tony answered without me even asking him that they could not answer. So the delivery of the word with our people is absolutely key. Because if you're going to be a good fisher, a fisherman, then you got to have the right bait. And here's what I also want us to focus on. It is also an economic component that can make an individual who don't have nothing to join something that got everything. We have to be better examples of the economic component of what the messenger gave to us. So when we go out there and service our people, not only do they know that we're wise, they also know that based on our wisdom, we now have some material possessions, and that's always a good bait going fishing. I remember Brother Collin, he had a Rolls Royce. He was in Atlanta. He said,
yes.
Brother Ray, get in the goddamn car and let me show you how to fish.
Right.
I'm like, brother, okay, cool, let's roll. So he would get in the car, and we would go. At that point, it was Bankhead Court, and it was Border Home. We would go in the wretched place, Vine City, where we would go in the rough places of Atlanta, and he would just get out. Him and I, he in that black suit that he had and that white bow tie, and I'm in my little suit, and I'm like, is this man crazy? Do he not know where we are?
Soldier.
Man, brother, he said, brother. And you know, if you know Kyle, how he would talk. Damn it,
yes,
it's all right, brother. It's all right. He said, stand here and do this. And then, brother, he didn't even have to open his mouth. The bait that he used, and that was that vehicle, it was attracting some of the greatest dope dealers that I knew was slinging out there.
Yes.
And Brother Collin would tell them to take that crap that you got and put it in a trunk and let's ride. And I was like, damn, you going to take them and ride them as well, too? These niggas going to get in the car with us, too? then I'm on security. How am I going to secure you when now you got 6 and 7 people in a Rolls Royce that we only supposed to have about 2 or 3 people in there? That's not a car we go out there and just drive anywhere. But the brother was showing me how to make men and boys join the FYI, man.
Yes,
sometimes we have to make sure we have the right bait when we're going fishing to get the fish on the hook. And when they get on the hook, they're going to wiggle and whatnot and try to release themselves. But we rear them in. We don't rear them in too quickly. We rear them in very, very slowly to make sure that fish that's on that hook does not get away.
You're out with the commanders in the field tonight, out on the front line with the fruit of Islam. Brother Khalid Muhammad, brother, was a great trainer of men, brother. One of the best. Praise be to Allah. Brother Allen, what say you, sir? Is our brother there, or he got dropped off? Brother Vernon?
Assalamu alaikum. I'm here, sir. I think the brother have covered everything, sir.
Okay.
Praise be to Allah.
So he left a little something for you, black man. you got anything you want to add to that, or you want to move right along?
We'll move right along, sir.
All praise to yes, sir, Brother Brennan.
We do have, I believe this is Brother. This is Brother from 601 area code. I'm not sure who it is, but I'm going to bring him in because he's got his hand raised.
He's got his hand raised? Yes, sir, brother, because we had a problem last week. People were beating me up all week because they couldn't get through. Who are we talking to tonight?
I bet witness there's no God but Allah and Muhammad. And I'm talking about the honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Brothers, I want you to know this is the CEO of the company and the network that you're in on tonight of Nation Building. Brother Rakim, how are you, beloved?
I'm fine by the grace of Almighty God Allah, and I salute you soldiers for a job well done, brother. I know the audience is loving this show. I got my brother, Captain Allen. That's my brother. That's my captain. He the one keep me in line. He's a trainer of my trainer. He trains me to be the man that I am.
All right.
All right. Captain Allen on the phone. I see we got Brother Reginald on the phone, on the show, and we got Brother Ray. Brothers, y'all doing a wonderful job, and by now, Brother Jihad, from your talks with me, you know that my spiritual mentor, my spiritual father, was Dr. Khalid Muhammad. That was the man
sir.
That inspired me.
Yes, sir.
So therefore, when I hear his name, damn it, you know I got to come on the lot.
Come on, black man. Talk to the soldiers tonight, brother. Talk to the soldiers.
Yes, sir. But you're proving. I'm telling you, I'm so glad to be a fruit, brother, because a fruit is the best.
Yes.
He's training, conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His soul is to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the most
to the Lamb of God. Yes.
We are compelled to be obedient, militant, humble, tolerant, courteous, honest, dependable, and damn it, we are dependable. Our people can depend on us. Because you know damn well they can't depend on no president of this government, no matter if he's black or white, Obama or Mitt Romney. I did say Mutt Romney, because he's a damn Mutt.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. But I don't want to take too much time on the show, brothers. I just want to congratulate you, brothers, for a job well done in your respective cities, brother. And, Brother Jihad, oh, my God, brother, you just turning this show into a powerhouse, brother, and I thank Allah for you, brother. I thank Allah for nation building, doing what it's doing, and it's building the people
all praises
to be
to Allah.
Want us to be. Yes, sir.
Yes,
so thank
you know,
you,
brother,
Allah, for coming on the show. Yes, sir, Brother Vernon.
Yes, sir.
Brother, you're doing a wonderful job, brother. Even though you damn it, you forget every time you see my number who I am, but, brother, I love you the same, black man. Love you the same.
I love you right back, my brother.
Yes, sir, brother.
Praise be to Allah.
Well, listen, go ahead and listen to audience out there. You listening to some trainers of men. These are not no punks. These ain't no weak, watered-down, punctified brothers. These ain't no sissified brothers. These are some real men doing the real jobs, working for Almighty God Allah, and he helping to raise all the black men around the country. Any black man that would listen, they going to get raised. Believe that.
Yes,
I don't give a damn if they land in a grave 6 feet deep, brother. They don't come up walking.
That's right. That's right.
That's another story, brother. I'm not going to hold up too much of the time on this show, brother. I just had to say something. I'm loving this show, brother.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Brother, we have a special report.
To show appreciation for the black man, we also have Sister Gidget on the line.
Hold 1 second, brother. Hold 1 second. I got a special report from about the election real quick.
Okay,
brother Gene, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, sir.
Yes, sir. Just wanted to give a special report. It's a repeat of 2004 down in Florida.
as you all brothers know, what we experienced back in 2004, where the same thing is happening again. But overall, President Barack Obama is winning the popular vote, but the electoral vote, he's winning 158 to Mitt Romney 153, keeping in mind 270 electoral votes are needed to win the presidency of the United States.
So it's pretty tight.
Yes, sir, very tight, especially in Florida. They're experiencing a lot of problems down in Florida as they did back in 2004, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir. We'll be right here.
Thank you, sir.
That was Brother Gene X with our Boots on the Ground special coverage of the presidential election. Brother Vernon, you have our sister on the line. Can you please bring her up, sir?
Yes, indeed. Gidget.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. How are you, beloved?
I am blessed by Allah's grace to have all my beautiful black fruit on the phone. I am really enjoying this show. Brother Jihad, original salute to you, soldier. You are really pulling it together. And I just want to say thank you to all of the brothers and captains on the phone, and thank you for participating. And you know, once you come in the door, you're part of the nation building family. So on behalf of all of Nation Building, I would like to welcome you, and I thank you all so much. All of you are awesome, and you are certainly worthy of praise. So thank you so much for this being fruit, and I am so proud to be your sister in MGT. So thank you, beloved.
Thank you, beloved. That's our program director, brothers. Sister Gidja Muhammad. Sister Gidja, before you go, please, you got to tell us what's going on for Thursday.
Oh, for Thursday, we have the FOI Speak from the Heart to the MGT. We will be blessed with the presence of Minister James Muhammad out of Florida, Minister Abram Muhammad out of Jackson, Mississippi, and Minister Troy Muhammad from Muhammad's Mosque Number 1 in Detroit. And
we're
going to talk about how the FOI really feel about the MGT. They're going to go through the proper procedures for courtship and marriage. And, hey, it's going to be an informative show for our sisters on behalf of our brothers showing some love to the MGT. So tune in if you can.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Sister Gidget. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yes, sir.
I want to say something, brother. I'm going to say something real quick. I want to reflect back on what the minister said last night. Somewhere there is a brother, he done put down the weed, he done put down the alcohol, and he listened to this show, and he said, this is some good, I'm not going to say the word, but he said, this is some good stuff. Somewhere, I believe that, brother.
Yes, sir. Praise be. But, brother, you know, I'm going to ride right in on that because my next question goes right to that. Brother Allen, I have a question. There are many black men, Latino brothers, who are listening to the show who are saying, I would like to join the Fruit of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, under the eternal leadership of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I like getting high. I like chasing women. I'm in and out of jail all the time. But I want to come, and I want to join. How can you talk to this brother who would like to be a member of the Fruit of Islam?
Brother, that's a good question, man.
Yes, I love that question.
Yeah, I love it, too, because that's the condition that I came out of.
Come on.
You just snapped the cord right off. Hell, now I got to come with the naked truth at this hell.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Somebody walking around right now naked as a fetus.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Well, First, if the brother is really sincere about joining the nation and everything, we have to consider that first we're going to have to do one day. He's going to have to come out from under the influence in order for the word to penetrate. Because, and I'm going to talk about my experience with this thing on how I got out of that condition and back into the nation. We are taught in AA, when you go to a treatment center for 40 to 30 days or however long it takes, we are taught to stay clean and sober one day at a time. But mind you, as the brother said, we are made. See, once you accept the fact that you want to get clean and sober, you go to a treatment place and they keep you in confinement. But even though you're in, you can leave out. But the thing that you got to remind, once you leave out, you're going to die. And this was told to me. See, because we have to be taught about the effect of drugs and alcohol and the condition getting in and out of jail and the condition that we're living in. Number one, we are supporting another economical phase. See, we are supporting, once we get caught with the alcohol and drugs, we are breaking the Caucasian law. But it's another form of slavery that we haven't even ventured into. But the thing that we have to bring to those people's attention that's in that, and what was brought to my attention, is that drinking and drugging is tearing down my health. It's not building anything, and I'm not being successful at anything by doing this, because the more that I do it, the more I'm failing my life. And this has to be brought to their attention. And you talk to them in that particular manner and give them an understanding of two things: how things work when you on alcohol and drugs, and how, be an example of how things work when you not on alcohol and drugs. And it's a certain point that you have to work. Okay, brother, if you do this thing one day at a time, you can eventually save money to clear up all of your tickets, regain your license, get some proper ID. You will have a problem on job because of the fact that they always, once you get a ticket or something, that stays on your record for the rest of your life. They said, you know, you go pay the ticket off and that stuff about it. I work with the police officers, that's a lie, because they can go back into that computer, man, and pull up that stuff from years and years back and everything. But the thing that we want our fish to do is to come out of that a little bit at a time. And once we get him out of it enough and bring him to the Mars and we put that truth in him, and we get that truth, and we have to constantly work with him and everything. Because, see, in treatment, we was worked with, and we was talked to, and we were counseled on how and the things that was affecting us. Because, see, going out in the street, like you said, going to those clubs and chasing the sisters and everything, see, those are triggers that causes other things to happen, causes us to drink and drug more and everything. And we got to recognize what those triggers are. Because, see, if you're not drinking and drugging, you can walk out in the street now and see these beautiful sisters walking in the street, and they would trigger you, and the first thing will pop in your mind, man, I sure need me a blunt by the bite, man. Boy, I wish I could get on that blunt right now. And stuff. Because those are the things. And then, you know, we let that thing go further, and we think about getting that particular sister. But, see, we got to recognize those things and put a new water, a new spirit of understanding in them to wash all of that out. In order to clean a vessel, you have to pull everything out of the vessel and put clean water in the vessel and some cleaning material and clean that vessel out so that it be a good receptacle of something that is good for them. And this is the thing that we have to do with our brothers and sisters that are on drugs and alcohol and everything.
And once we perform that work on that, man, we got to study, keep on to their coattail, man, and study, work with them day after day until they are able to do things on their own. Because this is just like bringing up a baby. Once you teach the baby how to walk and they see you walking and stuff and they start doing what you're doing and everything, then it grows. It becomes natural. And this is the way we have to bring our brothers and sisters out of that condition and stuff and grow them in the nation of Islam with this truth. They said the restrictive laws is our success. See, if we stick to those laws and everything and abide by those laws, we can be successful in the raising them up and keeping them into the nation of Islam. But we got to come and keep up communication. Communication
beautiful.
Is the key. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Malay Islam, Brother Reginald, let's say you, sir.
All right, dear brother, I had to step away. If you wouldn't mind, would you repeat the question for me, please?
Well, we got a brother that's out there, brother out in the street, original man, black man, Latino man, Native American, and he wants to join the Fruit of Islam. He wants to be a follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan under the eternal leadership of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He likes getting high. He likes chasing women. He loves standing in the clubs. And he's in and out of the joint all the time. What say you to help this man become what he desires to be, an FOI?
Oh, that's funny, brother, because you just described me many years ago.
Yes, sir.
I say very simply, brother, just come. You know, just, you know, like they used to say in the church, like Brother Ray said, you know, just come as you are. Just come.
Right.
And you do that because, man, these teachers are so beautiful, brother, that it's like taking a bath.
Mm-hmm.
You run your bath water. And we'll say that the bath water is equal to Islam. All you got to do is sit down in the water. You submerge yourself. All you got to do is just sit down. These things are so powerful that, and I think that I did catch Brother Allen when he said this, that once you make your mind up that that's what you want to do, regardless of what you may be involved in, be it chasing women, be it alcohol, be it drug abuse, be it you're suffering with unemployment or you're just downtrodden with laziness. Once you make your mind up to do it, there's something very beautiful that comes with being an FOI, and it is called discipline.
Yes.
And when you have discipline, you learn to obey promptly the orders that are given to you by your leaders, even when they are not present. And it instills in you the desire to carry those out till the last word. So I would say to that brother or that sister that may be listening tonight that you are attracted to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You like the way that the FOI move. You are very, very intrigued about the modesty of the MGT when you see those sisters in their beautiful garments. All I say is just come. It's a beautiful garment. Just try it on. It's a perfect fit. All you got to do is try it on. It's tailor-made for you.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, brother. Brother Reginald.
Yes, sir.
Brother, we're going to go to Brother Ray, and then Brother Vernon, we'll go to the lines if we have any questions. But I want to hear from our brother, Brother Ray Muhammad out of Birmingham. Brother Ray, same question applies. He's out there in the world.
Yes, sir.
He loves what he hears. He loves to hear the minister's teachings. He comes out when the minister's in town. He'll come to the mosque. He'll come out and hear the minister, but he ain't coming to the mosque.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he loves to hear the teachings. You know, but he likes getting high. He likes running through the women. He loves going to the clubs. He's in and out of the joint. What say you to help this black man or Latino or original man get himself together and become a registered member of the Fruit of Islam?
Wow, man, that is absolutely a profound question there, because there's a reason why that individual is not coming in but come out when Minister Farrakhan comes. So we have to really do a checkup from the neck up. We have to make sure that we are the right example for those individuals, because although there's a reason this brother dog is not coming in, maybe some of us are out there with he doing. We're doing what he's doing. Some of us are out there pimping, robbing, stealing, and running women. You understand? And then when we get to the mob, we put our suits and bow ties on, so he don't see any that he have to change that much. Because, hell, you out there with him. So my father told me when I came in, you keep doing what you're doing, brother. He said, keep on doing what you're doing, but keep coming around me. He said, I want to see if my God is more powerful than your God. And if your God is more powerful than my God, then I'll stop what I'm doing and follow your God. But he said, this right here would never happen. He said, the power of Elijah Muhammad and Louis Farrakhan, brother, and granted, I did not even like hearing Farrakhan's name when Brother Tony was raising me. I could not stand the minister. I just couldn't. Because all that bad garbage that they had put in my mind about this man named Farrakhan. But the more Tony Muhammad kept teaching, the more he kept teaching, he never asked me to stop doing nothing that I was doing. I thought I had sexy ankles, so I didn't wear socks. You understand? I didn't want to be in no shirt and no tie. Brother, I like the way I look. I'm dark-skinned. I was 5'9", weighing 150 pounds, and I had abs. The hell you going to tell me to put on a suit for? This is not what I wanted to do. But he said, keep coming. And the more I came around him, the more I disliked the person that I saw in the mirror.
Right.
So I start wanting now to emulate my father. And he said, brother, he told you to call me brother. He said, son, in 9 months, you ain't going to know, you'll no longer need me for guidance. I said, I don't see a time where I never need you for guidance. He said, hang around with me in my womb for 9 months and watch this baby be born. And see, brother, I gave that man all kinds of hell because I wanted to see if this man was for real. I was hurt by men when I was growing up. So I didn't trust the man. And here it is, a man that's going to come and tell me how to be a man. I'm already dead, I thought. But he never stopped me from doing that I was doing wrong. And I was doing a lot of things wrong because I was in the Marine Corps. I was also in college. And I thought I was the best-looking dark-skinned thing that was out there. So I had more women than a little bit. You understand? But that man kept teaching, and I kept wanting to be around him. Then I saw the way he moved. I saw the way he would get his wife's door. I said, damn, why you always get her door? Get in and let her get her own door. And then he began, every time I asked him a question, he began to start teaching me on why I even have the question. And then he began to start raising me up to a certain level. And then I moved in with him for 3.5 years, and it was over with then. It was absolutely over with. But the man never asked me to stop doing what I was doing. So when I go after the brothers that's out there in the street that love us, I first of all want to make sure I'm the right example for them to be following. Because that guy lead a Farrakhan. They don't know Farrakhan. They know the Farrakhan they see in me, so I have to respect who that man is. But I never ask them to stop doing what they are doing. I just say, keep coming around me, and then it is when you want to make the change in yourself, like the other two brothers said, then the change will take place. But they got to have an example of what a real man is, because the example that they have that's been before them is weak, respected, and not a man. So that's some of the methodology that I use going after our people, brother. I know that they're in a wretched condition, and I remember my condition. And I never tell a drug dealer to stop selling drugs. I don't tell them that. Hell, I can't replace him. I can't give him the money that he's making off of that debt. I said, keep coming around me, man. Just keep hanging out with me. You can't get
all
me to
crazy
doing, you keep hanging out with me, man. And the more they hang out with me and the more they're around me, the more they're in my car. I'm not in there. Now you're in my car, so I got the minister on. We don't have the radio on when you were riding in the car. I got the leader on. So if you're riding with me, you're going to hear what I hear. So
that's a few
of the things that I do going after the black man.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Ray. Thank you, thank you, thank you, brother. We are out on the front line with the Fruit of Islam, keeping it real with the commanders in the field. Brother Vernon, do we have anybody on the line with a question or a comment?
There are no callers on the line right now that are raising their hands, so we've got a bunch of listeners.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes,
this is Brother Gene X, sir, calling from St. Louis. I'd like to make a comment, please.
You would like to make a comment, sir?
Yes, sir, on that question that you asked about what do you do about a brother who's out there smoking drugs and chasing the women. What I do, brother, when I'm out there soldiering, I walk up to a bunch of brothers who's got drugs on their laps. They don't want to let the window down to shake my hand and introduce myself. And once I get them to do so, sir, I don't condemn them, you know.
That's right.
I tell the brother, yeah, I see you over there smoking on some quiche, ain't you?
Come on.
Let me show you what I'm high off of. Let me show you what I'm high off of, and this keeps me higher than you ever be. But the thing is, I think in the drug rehabilitation program, you have 12, it's a 12-step program, correct? I think it's it's a 12-point program that you have. And I take them to point number 12, or what the Muslims believe. But one brother told me something, and I will live every day of my life. He told me something that I'll never forget. He said, we have to be a shining star.
That's right.
We as FOIs and followers of Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we have to live every day of our lives remembering who we're out there representing.
That's right.
And when I'm out there every day, brother, I'm so excited. I'm walking 4 foot off the ground, and the people are watching us.
That's right.
So your family is watching you. We have got to be an example. We are blessed with the supreme wisdom of Almighty God, and we have to emulate that. I can't stress that more strongly. We represent the God, and we have to demonstrate that every day and be an example. The brother told, he said, you're a shining star. No matter who you are, we have to show them this is what their life can be, and let them know that they're just, the enemy is putting the drugs, the alcohol, and all this foolishness out here so you can blow your damn salvation. He knows who you are. But we just got to get them to know who they are. Knowledge of self.
Thank you, Brother Gene. I appreciate you, soldier. I appreciate you. Well, let me take this thing and move it forward to another level. I have been having shows, brother panelists, on male-female relationships. I've been having shows on Black America on lockdown, dealing with the incarceration, the injustices, the 13th Amendment, the Stand Your Ground law. But one of the things that really hits home with me and a lot of the MGT and a lot of our sisters that are in the world have a real serious concern. And that concern is our men are falling short with their responsibility, with duty to their wives and their children. And so I want to take the rest of this show. We got about a good 40 minutes, Brother Vernon, you say, before we have to close out?
Yes, sir. You're about right.
And I want to take the rest of this show because I want you brothers to talk to our sisters tonight. They're in pain, brothers. They're in pain. 72% of our sisters are having children out of what they call wedlock. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that 67% of the pregnancies are unwanted pregnancies. Okay? Now, having said that, let me show you, because Brother Maurice Muhammad, if he's listening tonight from Birmingham, we did a show on this, a segment on this, about a week or so ago, and we were talking about the law of cause and effect that none of us can escape. Now, if 72% of our sisters are having children, but there's no one there to raise the children, let me show you what the effects are of the cause. Now, Brother Maurice kind of chimed me last week because the statistic talked about fatherless children, and they're not fatherless children. They are men who fail in their responsibility as fathers. Okay. Now, listen to what the statistics say for a sister in the 72%. Who was raising her child without the balance in the home of a father, of a leader, of a man, of a counselor, of a soldier in her home. Five, they said that children who do not have fathers in the home, 5 times more likely to commit suicide. Children who do not have a father in the home, 32 times more likely to run away. Children among our sisters of the 72% who are raising their children without a father carrying out the responsibility in the home, 20 times more likely to have behavioral disorders. 14 times more likely to commit rape. 9 times more likely to drop out of high school. Children who are raised in a single-parent home among our sisters of the 72%, 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances. 9 times more likely to end up in a state-operated institution. Children among our sisters with the 72%, without a father in the home, 20 times more likely to end up in prison. Brother Reginald, I ask you, brother, talk to our sisters, talk to our brothers tonight about this responsibility. What can we do?
Wow. Brother, that is a very, very serious question, a very deep question, and it is a dilemma that is plaguing our communities at large, and it's something that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said has begun to impact us even in our Nation of Islam.
That's right.
Yeah.
I am blessed by Allah. My father, my biological father, made his transition 3 months and 2 days ago. And I was blessed to be raised by parents. My parents were married for 62 years.
Praise be to Allah.
And in that, I saw my mother and my father, and I saw the struggles that they went through in regards to maintaining marriage, maintaining household, and rearing my brother and I. Now, I am married now, thanks and praise be to Allah, and I have been married previously, and my children were born as a result of my first marriage. So my children deal with something that I personally cannot relate to, that which is what you're talking about, that I am not physically with them every day in the home with them. Now, I thank Allah for the parents that I have, and my father instilled something in me. Even though they couldn't understand the divorcing process, they could not relate to that. But my father, he put something in me, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan reinforced that seed, that I did not have to be with their mother in order to father my children. And as black men, and men, as black men specifically, men in general, we want the pleasure of the sister, but we don't want the responsibility that comes along with that pleasure. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talked about that to us on last night. There's a certain
yes.
degree of responsibility that comes with the pleasure of sexual activity. And
mm-hmm.
he said, sisters, that sisters, you have to guard yourself on who you allow into the most intimate aspect of you. That is your womb. Yes, sister, you want to be married. Yes, you want to have somebody special in your life. You want somebody to make you feel important. But there is something that could come along as a result of that, that if you did not check the source of that, and the source being the man, what is his characteristics? What type of man is he? He's 6'3". He's a very good-looking brother. Okay, I give you that. But what is his makeup? And if he's not made up of that very good material that will make a good father, then he's going to leave you with a one-night stand or a several-night stand, and now you have the responsibility of rearing a child that you have hurt in your heart for as a result of the relationship that you and that man have. I would say to the brothers, first and foremost, if there are brothers on this line, and I'm sure that there is, who fall into the category of being a biological father to a child, but you are not being a daddy to that child, make up your mind, just like we were talking about coming into the FOI class, make up in your mind that you are going to get your baby. And when I say going to get them, I don't necessarily mean in a physical aspect, but form a relationship and a bond with those children. Form some type of relationship. And as I say this to you, not so much with my children, because I have a great relationship with my children, but you also have to have a relationship, some type of relationship with that child or children's mother also.
Right.
And it takes a degree of humbling yourself down low, down real low. Put your personal hurt to the side. Put your personal pride to the side and think about that child, because, you know, it's kind of cliche that the child didn't ask for this. The child didn't ask to come into the world. But that is very, very serious. And just think about yourself, myself, what type of stress it is on that child's brain as to why my daddy don't love me.
Mm.
He or she didn't. They did nothing. They did nothing. They know that their mother says to you whatever the mother may say in a negative manner. But only thing they know is, I know I'm here. I know I came as a result of my mother and my father being together physically. But why don't my daddy love me? Why don't he want to know me? Why don't my father come pick me up and take me to the park? Why would he come pick me up and take me to the state fair? Why would he come pick me up and take me to a football game or a basketball game or a baseball game? Why won't my father come sit down with me and help me with my homework? Why won't my father come take me to the park and just push me in a swing? And black man, I'm telling you, when you do not have a relationship with your children, you are missing the very best part of your own self.
That's right.
That's the very best of you. And that child that Allah blessed you and that sister with. But, I mean, that is very, very difficult, but it takes us, we have to apply those steps of atonement that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave to us. We have to apply them to ourselves first. Forgive your own self. Then humble yourself down low enough that you could go to that sister. Maybe you haven't been paying your child support. Hopefully you have been. Even if you don't like her, you got to take care of your babies. But let's just say you haven't been paying your child support. Go to her and make just a genuine effort. Sister, you know, I don't have a job. I can't give you any money. But I can pick up the baby. I can take him to school. I can pick him up from school. If you need to work, you don't have to pay a babysitter. Bring him to me. But extend yourself to your child and watch how Allah will bless you for taking on the responsibility that you gave to yourself. You gave that to yourself.
Beautiful.
That's all I have to say. That,
yes,
to me,
man,
brother,
I know.
It's a very, very touchy subject to me.
I know it is, brother, and I know you could probably go on for the next 8 hours talking about it, and I respect the fact that, you know, you're yielding to the time of the clock tonight. And, brother, I feel your passion in this, but I want to say right now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan don't tolerate no punks.
That's right, that's right, that's right.
You got children, you take care of your children. And we do not abuse our women, or we will see you. Brother Ray, what say you, beloved?
Wow, brother, I want you to...
Go ahead, sir, I'm sorry.
Brother, I want you to know the emotion that just welled up inside of me, because it's such a personal issue for me. Because I am one of those fathers, one of those children who was raised by a single mother. I remember the day my daddy left, December 25th, 1972. If you Google that, that Christmas was on a Tuesday. He left at 8:37 p.m. I can tell you everything all of my siblings got for Christmas. I was named after my child, my father. I'm Bobby Ray Hobbs Jr., my slave name. But my father had five boys before me and boys after me, but I'm the only son that he named directly, that gave me directly his name. And I adored my daddy. I mean,
yes.
I really, even when I was sensed that my daddy was coming home, it just done something to me, because first of all, I'm Ray Jr. And I know I got older brothers who don't have the same name as my father. So the connection that I had to my father when I was 1 through 7, it was a profound connection, but there came a time in my life when my mother and my father could not get along in peace. So my father decided that, okay, it's best that I leave, and I remember when he left. And when my father left me, then a part of him leaving my mother left me as well, too, and a part of me literally died. And I was the child that my mother had that stayed in trouble, because the trouble that I would get into, it would bring my daddy back to me. Whether it was for him to beat my behind, whether it was for, didn't make a difference what it was, so I would create all kind of ruckus, set cars on fire. I would throw break out of windows at the school. I would fight every day at school, anything that could get my daddy back to the house. Because I wanted my daddy back and could not understand why my daddy left. Now, years went by, and I developed a profound hate for my father. A profound hate to the point that I went in the Marine Corps and got very skilled in weaponry and other things that they taught us in the Marine Corps, because my purpose was to go in to learn to kill my daddy. But I remember Minister Farrakhan in 1988, brother. He was at Howard University. I was at my spiritual father house, Tony Muhammad, lying on his couch, and Minister Farrakhan, drugs and the root cause. He said, no matter what your father have done to you, you pick the phone up and you call him right now. And you tell him that you love him, even you got to hang the phone up, and you do that. So I did that, and then that established a relationship again with my dad. But to the sisters who are out there listening to us, who are hurting because there's no man there, first of all, let me apologize for us not standing up and being the man that you would like for us to be. But you yourself got to understand that there's a systematic, programmatic way that this devil did to destroy the manhood that's in us. And
yes.
The reason why we don't want to take care of our children, hell, we didn't. When we fathered children during slavery, he took the children from us, disconnected us from being a father to the child. Now, 300-400 years later from that, now we father children and don't want to have nothing to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
So please bear with us a little while longer as we're learning how to be a good man, first of all, and as brother it's forgiving ourselves first, because I had to learn, Brother John, I had to learn how to forgive me. Now, I am a father of 3 children. As my father divorced my mother at age 7, so I divorced my children's mother, my son's mother, at the same age. And then there was 10 years that my son went without me being there. Now, I fought heaven and hell to be a part of my children's life because I did not want to be an absentee father like I thought my daddy was. So I could, the mother and I went through some things, and sisters who are out there listening, when there's a man, and that man is the father of those children, and it does not make a difference how much that father might have hurt you as the mother of the children. Allow the father to still be in the children's life, because when you disconnect the father from his children, particularly the son, then you cut the idea of God off in that child.
Right.
You got to look above and beyond that, our hurt and my hurt, and then we got to see what both of our hurts are doing to our children. Now, man, it's so touching to me because I have an 18-year-old son who will be 19 in a month. I have a 17-year-old daughter. I have a 15-year-old daughter, you understand, and I'm trying to be that man that my father was not. Now I lost my father some 3 years ago, and I wish like hell I could have him back right now and beg his forgiveness every day for what I did wrong, of misunderstanding the relationship my mother and he had. I'm blaming him for leaving when I should have been blaming both of them, or I should have stayed out of that and just let my daddy be my daddy. You see, so man, it hurts me so much. That divorce, and I understand, but Jahan, why Allah hates divorce. Because it's absolutely so destroyed, not only the man and the woman, but it tears up those children, because my children, I would get them in the summer, then they go back to their mother 9 months. I'm trying to mold and shape my son to be an image of his father, and I try to be an image of the father. And then he has to go back to the mother and whatnot. She's a good mother. She's done good by them. But there was a lot of mistakes that a woman made. And sisters, I'll say this now, and I'm done. Sisters, you cannot make a man a man. Stop trying to do that. Because what you're doing, you're making that boy child imbalanced, and he leans more to the femininity in him opposed to developing the masculinity, because you are not masculine and should not be masculine. Turn him over to his daddy or uncle or a big brother or some man that loved that boy, so that boy would not be confused, and this that we call now homosexuality would not be on the rise as it is in the black community. So, Brother Jahan, I'm done, because I'm about to be in tears, man, because this is a painful subject for me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, beloved. Thank you so much, brother. I remember when I first became a fruit in the late 70s under Brother Abdul Karim Muhammad in the New York area. And I was a young man. I was 18, 19 years old. And there was a policy in the FOI class. You couldn't be a fruit. If you were lazy and you wouldn't take care of your responsibility, you couldn't sit up in there.
That's right.
And that was the training.
Yes, sir.
Let me go to my brother Alan Muhammad, sir. You know, I guess you already know the question. You know, we're dealing with the law of cause and effect. What we're talking about is the result of the 72% of our sisters who don't have husbands and fathers in the home to take care of their children. We have 5 times more likely to commit suicide, 32 times more likely to run away, 20 times more likely to have behavioral disorders, 14 times more likely to commit rape, 9 times more likely to drop out of high school, 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances, 9 times more likely to end up in a state-operated institution, and 20 times more likely to end up in prison. The law of cause in effect. Brother Alan Muhammad, sir, what say you? Brother Brennan, is our brother there?
Brother Alan? I see all the people on the line. He should be there.
He should be there? Yes.
Mind, Brother Allen?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll come back to him.
I think I heard him. Brother Allen? Well, okay. Well, we'll get back to him. Give him a minute because maybe he's having a difficulty with his line. He's having a difficulty with his line. Well, let me go ahead and then say to my sisters, hold on, like our brother Ray Muhammad said, sister. We're getting together with a teacher and trainer like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We're getting it together. Let me go ahead and say to Brother Reginald, take
back, Brother Allen.
Brother.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, Brother, did you hear the question?
No, sir. Could you repeat that, sir?
Brother, I was just asking the question with this alarming rates and the statistics that we have for our sisters, 72% of them not having men in their homes, 5 times more likely to commit suicide. The children in single-parent homes, 32 times more likely to run away, 20 times more likely to have behavioral disorders, 14 times more likely to commit rape, 9 times more likely to drop out of high school, 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances, 9 times more likely to end up in a state-operated institution, and mothers in a single raising the children without a father, 20 times more likely to end up in prison. We're talking about the law of cause and effect, the result of not having the man in the home carrying out the responsibility of leader, father, counselor, and provider for his queen and his children. What say you about this condition? What can we do about it, brother?
First, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
The first thing we got to look at is what was put in place to cause this. When I was young, we used to get what they call commodity, a food stamp, a welfare, and all this. This brought about a condition where the sisters can get money and stuff for the amount of children that they had and stuff at that particular time. But the purpose of that at that time was to help them to get financially stable to do some things on their own. But the children at that time grew up, and this brought about a change in our development. Well, the young men and the young women, when they grew up, they started having children, and all they did was sit at home, went to school, and had babies to collect that welfare money, collect that those commodities and stuff that was given to us through the Caucasian man way of life. And these conditions were set up in us over a period of time. So now, this same condition has been advanced in a way that all of the brothers do now is have babies. They don't have to take on responsibility because, see, they want that particular sister to wait on the welfare check, to wait on the food stamps and stuff. So they don't take on the responsibility of taking care of their children. And over a period of time, this way of life become acceptable. Now, when we get them into the Nation of Islam, we have to reverse that because we have to teach them that they have to be responsible for any life that they bring into this world, including themselves. Because we have some young brothers and sisters that Lazarus that we find in the Bible, until Jesus called them, move that stone from that door and call them out, they going to still be Lazarus. And some of them, when you open the stone and call them out, they like walking dead people. They walking in a way that they are not walking in the proper way. So we have to teach them, look here, brother, you have to condition and train yourself to do something for yourself. And that's the first teaching that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us. Do something for self. Now, the other thing that brought about all of this condition is the teaching that we went through for 12 years in school conditioned us to do these particular things. Just when Willie Lynch put this thing into motion, brother, don't think now time that he was putting this thing into motion to exist for longer than 1,000 years. This condition is still in us now, and we have become so acceptable to this condition and way of life that we study promote it. As we see now, our young men are taking their clothes off. This thing has grown so much. And if we know the root, if we study the root of this, we got to dig through this thing and dig that root up and destroy it. And the only thing that can destroy this is the truth in the Nation of Islam and everything. And we got to be the examples and stuff to show them that there is a better way of life, and we don't have to live in that type of condition because we are trying to be acceptable to white people. See, when we go out and act and do these kind of things, we are trying to be acceptable to white people. They won't bother me if I do this. See, as long as we do that, there is no fault. And we want to get into the homes and things. Our men, even the men at home with their wives and their daughters, they have these young brothers coming over and stuff, talking about going on dates and stuff and everything. They don't monitor this stuff. Well, we going out to prom night. Okay, prom. That prom is in a hotel. See, we don't watch and guard our children, even if the man and the woman is there in the house. So when there's a separation, there is an advantage that one or the other can take because they can manipulate the parents into letting
that's
them
right.
have their way. And this
that's
condition
right.
rolls on and on. See, if we really study what caused and what brought about, see, when the Caucasian race put forth these laws and put these things into effect, it brought about a condition in our people that it brought about a way of life that we have begun to accept it. And it started killing our young brothers. It started killing our sisters. Even the laws and things that's in our community, that's part of the separation of the male and the female in the household. Because if a man is out and he has problems, and I want to get to something else when I explain it, and he has problems, he goes out and starts drinking. He leaves home and goes start drinking. Or he leaves home too. This is what caused a breakup of the family. We have been taught how to be true men and true women and have a true family life together. We haven't been taught that. See, we were separated. See, like I said, if the Willie Lynch syndrome is in us now. We are steady doing this thing, and we're keeping this thing in motion and don't realize that we, because the thing that the man have gathered is acceptable. And we still slaves to him because everything we do and stuff, we think we get no. Even, to give you a good example, all of our movie stars and football players, they get out and get rich and all this stuff, and then they get these big old houses. You ain't got but one or two people there. That's the man and his wife. And you got a big old house, and you start throwing parties and all this stuff, and then somebody brings some drugs in, you get busted for something your friends have bought in and associate you with, and then everything that you have worked so hard for get taken away from you. That's another form of slavery that we don't even take the time to look at. And stuff. And then they teach you, go to school, be a football player, be a basketball player. They don't never take you to go to school to use your mind to create a job or something for yourself. All of this has got to be implemented in the family life to develop us and to move it in the right direction to keep us together. Now, that brings me to this point. When the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan introduced us to Dianetics, that too, brother, is a thing that can get rid of all these engrams and stuff so that we can have a better relationship at home. Even though we got a lot of our young brothers out there doing wrong and stuff, but we got to grab them by the hand and pull them in the right direction. like the brother said, is we got to make all men and boys be FOI. We got to get out and make them and force them to come into the nation to learn about themselves. Because what they have been taught is how the white race have brought them in and been acceptable in living in this hellhole that they're in. They don't even know they're living in here. See, we live better than that, even in Africa. What is now called Africa, but actually is the whole Earth Asia. See, we knew that then. It's the, but when we came over here, he stripped us of all of this knowledge. And the knowledge that he had put in us, we keep it going. We keep it going for him. That's the reason the Willie Lynch syndrome is very deep embedded in us. And this is what causing a lot of our problems in the family life and in the homes that we're living in and in our community. Because, see, once they get in the family, we know we're living in a community, in a society of black people. Because they don't let you get into their neighborhood unless you got a certain financial, economical status and stuff and everything. And that's when they invite you in, because you can help promote their way of life. But we have been taught how to live and socialize and come up together in a righteous way. We don't be trustful and disciplined enough with each other. Because if we go back in the clubs and stuff, when one brother comes through and maybe bump your table or step on your feet, we ready to fight and kill. That's where a lot of this anger and stuff comes from. See, a lot of this stuff has been passed down from generation to generation, is really what I'm saying. And if
yes.
we look at the source and the root of the cause of this problem, now we can see the flourishment or the development of it on another level. So what we got to do is get to the root and pull it up by the root and start developing. And that means retraining and reteaching our people in the proper way of how to live. And the Nation of Islam is the only thing that got that solution, along with Don Haddon. And we, brother, I just want to say this, and I'm through. We got to go into Don Haddon to do our extended course and become artists. Because when we go to our people in the community, we got to understand that that's a form of auditing our people. And it's helping you. In order to bring the people out of the grave, you gonna go in there and get some dirt on them. Now you getting
right.
out of this, you get clean yourself up. We know how to get clean. They don't. So now we got to bring them out of the mud hole and the filth that they're living in, and bring them to a place where they can get clean up. And that's part of the solution to the other thing that you asked me about earlier. And I like to thank you for asking that, brother, because it's really deep about our family life. And I'll share a little something, you know, about myself. When I first came into the nation, I wasn't married. I was staying with at that particular time, girlfriend, which eventually became my wife. And the brother told me, look here, brother, you can't stay with that woman. You got to get married. So I didn't have no children by at that time. I immediately moved out and everything.
Yes.
So we stayed in contact with each other and everything, and we eventually got married. But the children, I have two daughters, with two older daughters. They married and everything. But see, with the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, everything that man and the person, Brother Thomas Shabazz, which is our minister here in Jackson, taught me, I taught to my daughters. They said, when they're 2 years old, brother, you start teaching them then, male or female. Because that's the most pertinent part when they start learning. So I start pouring the teaching of Islam. I start teaching them prayer. I start teaching them about how to live, bean soup, and 100% whole wheat bread. See, I start teaching them about not eating pork and everything. Those little things right there help stimulate. And they're living better than me. They're not in the nation, but they're living better than me. And one more thing that I taught one of my daughters is I said, if you gonna go to school and learn what the teachers are teaching you, you learn everything about what they're teaching you, but you learn the most important thing, how to apply that knowledge in the right way. And once you apply it in the right way, you apply it to help others, and they will in turn help you. Now, this my oldest daughter, man, she got a house built, riding around in a Mercedes Benz, working for the government, making $60,000 a year in office. She's working in office. She ain't doing no hard labor. And what she did, she worked herself up. She started working in a clothing store. When she first got in the clothing store, man, they get paid on commission. She was selling more clothes than the people that had been there 2 or 3 years. Because she was in high school, and people know her relationship with the brothers and sisters that she grew up with, you know, and they came in and did business with and stuff. And it wasn't the type of business that, you know, I'm going to let you have this at a discount and you know, cutting, slicing, and trying to get something to sell on the side. She didn't do that. See, that's why we train them right at a young age. It will eventually grow in them as they grow. And once they practice this over a period of time, it becomes natural. It becomes natural.
Right.
And this helped bring about a strong family. Now, I eventually, you know, because I'm finna, but I don't want to keep on going because, see, that relationship broke up because I messed up myself after the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad left us and stuff. I went back into the street, started drinking and doing all kinds of things and stuff. And eventually I had to get a divorce because I didn't want to bring her down with me and everything. So,
gotcha.
The love of my daughter and love her, I still had enough respect for them and love for them to leave them and stuff and don't put that garbage on them and everything. But I still counsel them in a righteous way so they can develop and do something for themselves. And that's why I can say this now. Both of my daughters have good jobs and stuff and everything, and they're living a whole lot better than me, than I am. And through my drug addiction, I went through treatment. I got married again, and I can bear witness to a lot of stuff. But Allah put me through some things. I'm gonna try to make this short. Put me through some things to train me on how to deal with relationship with women. Because see, you got some bipolar women out there. See, you can get with a sister. And you would think, man, this is a woman for me. But sooner or later, some would trigger her, and you would see another side.
Yes, sir. Well, brother Allen, I gotta cut it short now because we gotta close the show. But I would love to have you come. I would love to have you come back, beloved. You know, whenever you can, I would love to have you come back, brother, because I haven't even gotten into the subject on what I wanted to talk about tonight, and that was the rise. Well, we've been talking about it all night long, the rise of the Black South, but I didn't get a chance to go into it in detail because we were laying some groundwork. So, inshallah, maybe you brothers can come back and we can finish the show up. But let me go ahead and say, Brother Ray, give me about one minute and tell us something that's on your heart that you want us to know. And then I'm going to let Brother Reginald take a minute, and then we're going to close the show.
Yes, sir. Again, Brother Jihad, thank you so very much for having me on. To your mighty listeners out there and to those of us who are followers of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, I want us not to so much want to bring people to the mosque, but the minister told us that we should go out and set up study groups where the people are. When the people don't come through Muhammad, then Muhammad must go through the people. And I think we spend too much time trying to bring our individual over to the mosque and know that all of the 17 million or 40 million, they're not going to come to the mosque. The mosque is wherever you go teach the people, you understand?
Yes,
so we have to stop trying to bring so many out to the mosque per se. Just go out into your neighborhood and you become the mosque. You become the light. And then you draw all of those individuals to you because you know the diameter of your neighborhood. You know the circumference of your neighborhood. You know the original man in your neighborhood and the colored man in your neighborhood. You know everything about your neighborhood. So establish the mosque in your neighborhood. And then when we get these study groups up, like the minister have asked us to do, each and every one of us, Brother Jihad, is charged with doing that.
So in closing, bro, I thank you. I thank you so very much. I enjoyed myself tonight.
Thank you, beloved. Brother Reginald, what say you? You got about 1 minute, sir. Is our brother still on the line? Brother Reginald? All right. Well, brother, we're going to have you back.
Brother John.
Yes.
I apologize. I have my telephone on mute, brother. I'm just talking away. But I apologize.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. You got 1 minute. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm going to be less than a minute, brother. I thank you and your staff for the opportunity. Brother Stu, Cap Allen, Brother Ray, it's a pleasure to hear from you brothers again. And I would just like to leave everyone with this. And I think we all got this in our training, that as a Muslim follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I pledge to conduct my personal and public life according to the highest moral and ethical standards, to refrain from doing or saying anything that is harmful or mischievous, to refuse to take or knowingly administer any harmful talk, to hold in strictest confidence all personal matters committed to my care, to do all in my power to maintain and elevate the standards of my religion, to devote myself to the welfare of those committed to my care, and with loyalty to aid Allah and His Messenger in their work. And I was going through that as we were talking tonight, and in my humble opinion, that sums up in a nutshell everything that we talked about tonight. So may Allah bless each of us on this call tonight. May He bless your family, and may He keep all of us, man. I love y'all.
Thank you, brother. Well, welcome, salam, sir. That's our show for tonight. Be sure to tune in next week. Our guest will be national spokesman Jamil Muhammad. Also from the NOI Final Call Prayer Line, Captain Curtis Muhammad will be here with us next week, same time. Also, every Sunday, be sure to tune in to the Nation of Islam webcast at NOI.org at 10 o'clock Central Time. And every morning, tune in to the NOI Final Call Prayer Line at 6 o'clock Eastern Time at 760-569-7676. Access number 906-378-POUND. So all the soldiers out there, this weekend, boots on the ground. Let's go, soldiers. Let's take our final call. Go behind enemy lines and proceed to establish a beachhead and take control. You heard the Honorable Rose Farrakhan. It's time now. Go up and build in our communities now. Soldiers up in Washington, D.C., New York City. Shout out to the brothers in Birmingham, Alabama. Soldiers down there in Jackson, Mississippi. Let's shine them shoes up. Make them suits tight. Get them white shirts crisp and that bow tie tight. Let's go out and go and get our people and be saviors and soldiers under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We love you, dear Apostle. And we say, brothers, we'll see you next week. Sisters, be on the show next week with our guests, Brother Ray, Brother Reginald, and Brother Allen, the commanders in the field. Thank you for coming out tonight. May Allah bless us all as I greet you in peace. Say Allahu Akbar. As-salamu alaykum.
The merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant,
militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.